Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's trivia questions come to us from the website onthisday.com. Question number one, why was a rally for decency held today in Miami in 1969? Hint, singers Anita Bryant and the Lettermen made appearances at the rally. Was it A, it was a rally to support the health benefits of drinking more orange juice? Was it B, it was a rally to oppose the rising use of obscene lyrics in popular music? Was it C, it was a rally to protest the Doors' Jim Morrison's indecent exposure? Or was it D, it was a rally to encourage voters to pass a tax break for religious songs? So what was the reason for this 1969 Rally for Decency in Miami, anyway? And question number two, why was part of Central Park in New York renamed today in 1984? Was it A, it became Gandhi's Gate to honor recently assassinated Indira Gandhi? Was it B, it was renamed Olympic Park to honor the 1984 Winter and Summer Games? Was it C, a section was renamed in honor of John Lennon of the Beatles? Or was it D, a section of the park became Pooh's Corner in honor of Winnie the Pooh? So why was part of Central Park in New York renamed today in 1984? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of March 21st. Well, it was on this very day back in 1685 that composer Johann Sebastian Bach was born. Bach, a prominent figure of the late Baroque period, is best known for his prolific output across diverse genres and instruments, including the Brandenburg Concertos, Bach's B-Day today in 1685. And it was 86 years ago today, 1939, that God Bless America was recorded by Kate Smith. Catherine Elizabeth Smith was an American contralto. Referred to as the First Lady of Radio, Smith became known as the Songbird of the South because of her tremendous popularity during World War II. Her rendition of God Bless America, recorded today, 1939. Ravel's Bolero introduces our classical music news. It's pronounced, and it is titled, Dudamel mesmerizes in this account of Ravel's hypnotic work. And this is published by Apple Music on the 17th of March, 2025. Ravel's iconic orchestral work gets a fresh treatment here. There's an understated yet committed quality to the playing, from the opening snare drum that takes the infectious rhythm, heard throughout the piece, at a steady pace as preferred by the composer himself. From there, conductor Gustavo Dudamel elicits a hypnotic atmosphere as the flute unfurls the opening theme. The power of this piece, Dudamel tells Apple Music Classical, lies in its simplicity. You have one rhythm and two melodies, and for about 16 minutes the listener is carried through a crescendo of colors. Each time the melody returns, it takes on a new shade, shaped instinctively by the interpreter. This is superbly demonstrated in this recording, where you can hear not only the distinctive color of each instrument taking up the melody, including a seductively resonant tenor saxophone, but also the characterful way that each soloist plays it. Meanwhile, the crescendo is getting bigger, continues Dudamel, building towards that climatic 2D, a moment I can only describe as Nirvana. And in music research and technology, we have this article titled, Music Can Increase Your Workout Endurance by 15%. Here are six more life-changing benefits. We know that music has a positive effect on the brain, but music's impact on the body can also be helpful, improving heart health, stress levels, and pain management. This is published in BBC Music Magazine on the 18th of March, 2025. It's long been known that playing and listening to music can stimulate the brain, boost creativity, and improve learning. Especially as we age, learning an instrument, singing in a choir, or simply listening to a Mozart symphony can provide a thorough workout for the brain. Here is the science. Sound waves travel as electrical signals throughout the auditory nerve to the brain stem. The brain then deciphers those signals, connecting each note to the next. It effectively rebuilds different elements of the signals, such as pitch and rhythm, as the mathematical structure we recognize as music. That's a lot of very complicated work. But according to research by Johns Hopkins Medicine, music can also reduce anxiety, blood pressure, and pain, as well as improve sleep quality, mood, mental alertness, and memory. Here are seven ways music can improve your physical health. Number one, it can improve your heart health. Research has shown that music helps the blood to flow more easily. It does this by helping our blood vessels to dilate, improving circulation. This, in turn, means that oxygen and nutrients are delivered more efficiently to the body. Listening to music, particularly classical or slow tempo music, can also reduce your heart rate and lower blood pressure by promoting relaxation and reducing our production of the stress hormone cortisol. More on that shortly. Finally, music can increase levels in the blood of those feel-good, calming hormones, serotonin and endorphins. Number two, it can lift your mood. Here's another of the many benefits of music. It can boost the brain's production of the pleasure hormone, dopamine, which helps relieve feelings of anxiety and depression. This is because music is processed by the part of the brain involved in mood and emotions. It's very similar to the way that aerobic exercise, like walking, biking, and swimming, can boost mood and positivity through increased levels of serotonin in the body. Try something joyous and uplifting, and music doesn't get much more joyous and uplifting than the first movement of Beethoven's dance-like Symphony No. 7. Number three, it can reduce stress. When we're feeling stressed, there's a biological impact on the body. The adrenal glands start producing the hormone cortisol, which helps us find the focus and energy to deal with a challenging situation. In the long term, the continual release of cortisol keeps us in a perpetual state of fight or flight. In turn, this can lead to anxiety, depression, and even physical pain. According to a 2021 study quoted on Psych Central, listening to both personal and neutral selections of music significantly reduced cortisol levels. This was found regardless of the music type, and similarly to the practice of meditation, listening to music with a slower pulse can actively reduce a stress-induced high heart rate too. So largo and andante, slow movements of concertos, symphonies, and chamber music could work wonders for your heart. Number four, it can help you to manage pain. Its ability to reduce both heart rate and stress hormones means that music is also your friend when it comes to pain management. It does this by providing a strong opposing stimulus to the brain's pain signals. Music can reduce the way the brain interprets pain intensity as well. For this reason, music can have many benefits in geriatric and intensive care. Research has also shown, for instance, that listening to music can reduce the pain in those suffering from widespread musculoskeletal pain and fatigue. It does this in several ways. Most simply, music provides a competing stimulus that shifts attention away from pain. Since the brain processes pain and sound in overlapping regions, engaging with music can reduce the perception of pain intensity. Try something calm but stimulatingly intricate, like Bach's magnificent Brandenburg Concertos. Number five, it can help you eat less. And incredible as it might sound, playing music during a meal can help you slow down while eating and ultimately consume less food in a single setting. A 2012 study by Cornell University found that people tend to eat less at a restaurant when the lighting and music is softer and more ambient. In fact, this reduced calorie intake by 18%. More so, research carried out by the University of Lincoln found that music can help those suffering with emotional eating tendencies. Participants in the study were initially asked to recall sad memories. They then listened to pre-selected music or were left in silence for 3 minutes before taking part in a snack test. Those who ate in silence consumed over 8 grams of snack foods, whereas those listening to music ate significantly less, between 4 and 5 grams. Number six, it can get you exercising more. Listening to motivating, upbeat music can boost endurance and physical performance, helping you to nail that tough exercise session. According to a study published in Scientific American, music creates a rhythm response, or a tendency to synchronize your movements to the musical beat. This can help you maintain pace and use your energy more efficiently. It also provides a distraction from the feeling of exhausted muscles, elevating your mood and replacing negative thoughts with a can-do attitude. Among other benefits, studies have suggested that music can increase endurance during a workout by up to 15%. Not only that, but exercising to music also appears to enhance our emotional states, making the activity significantly more enjoyable. It can even foster a positive mindset, even during high-intensity workouts, helping individuals push through moments of near exhaustion. Try Mars from Gustav Holst's The Planets. And last but not least, number 7, it can improve your balance. A study reported in Harvard Health found that music helped people over the age of 65 who were at risk of falling, but otherwise free of neurological and orthopedic issues. Half the 134 male and female participants were trained to walk and perform various physical movements in time to music, while the other half continued as normal. At the end of 6 months, the quote-unquote dancers exhibited better gait and balance than their peers, and they also experienced 54% fewer falls. Blondie's Heart of Glass introduces our rock and pop music news. It's titled Blondie's Debbie Harry on Turning 80 This Year and, quote-unquote, Beauty of Aging. The music icon also spoke about flirting in Home Depot and whether she'd try online dating. This is published in NME.com by Tom Skinner on January 6, 2025. Blondie frontwoman Debbie Harry has reflected on turning 80 years old later this year and talked about the beauty of aging. The singer-songwriter will hit the milestone age on July 1, 2025. During a new interview with The Times, Harry explained, "I don't walk around thinking every minute, oh God, I'm going to be 80, but that's sort of how I feel." She continued, "My mother used to say in her head she was 25 and I'm the same. But thinking about it all the time could be your downfall, and I don't really want the same kind of life I did when I was younger." Mipso's Carolina Calling introduces our local music news. PBS North Carolina presents the music series Shaped by Sound, which features North Carolina's brightest stars sharing their songs and stories. The Thursday, March 20th, 2025 episode features Mipso, The band playing in the background now, a North Carolina quartet from Chapel Hill, known for combining a traditional string band format with close harmony and a variety of modern influences. Shaped by Sound is available to stream on PBS.org and the free PBS app, available on iPhone, Apple TV, Android TV, Android smartphones, and Amazon.
Carolina in these things that follow me. Must be Carolina, and it's all how we ought to be. Must be Carolina calling me.
So, how'd you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, why was a rally for decency held today in Miami in 1969? And I gave as a hint that singers Anita Bryant and the Letterman made appearances at this rally. Was it A, it was a rally to support the health benefits of drinking more orange juice? Was it B, it was a rally to oppose the rising use of obscene lyrics in popular music? Was it C, it was a rally to protest the Doors, Jim Morrison's indecent exposure? Or was it D, it was a rally to encourage voters to pass a tax break for religious songs? And the correct answer is answer C. It was a rally to protest the Doors' Jim Morrison's indecent exposure on stage at a recent Miami, Florida concert. As noted in a March 24, 1969, Associated Press, New York Times article, some 30,000 hand-clapping persons, some waving signs saying, "Down with obscenity," rallied in the Orange Bowl today to support a teenage crusade for decency in entertainment. Teenagers had organized the rally after Jim Morrison, 24, the lead singer of the rock group The Doors, was charged with indecent exposure during a concert in Miami on March the 1st. 6 warrants have been issued for Mr. Morrison's arrest. A 17-year-old at Miami Springs High School said that the idea grew out of a Catholic youth group discussion after The Doors' rock concert. Teenage speakers gave talks on God, parents, patriotism, sexuality, and brotherhood. The shirt-sleeve crowd cheered as Jackie Gleason, Anita Bryant, and the Letterman, popular music singers, appeared in order to applaud the teenage rally. The crowd was about evenly split between teenagers and adults. And the answer to our second question, why was part of Central Park in New York renamed today in 1984? Was it A, it became Gandhi's Gate to honor recently assassinated Indira Gandhi? Was it B, it was renamed Olympic Park to honor the 1984 Winter and Summer Olympics? Was it C, a section was renamed in honor of John Lennon of the Beatles? Or was it D, a section of the park became Pooh's Corner in honor of Christopher Robin's bear, Winnie the Pooh? And the correct answer is answer C. It was renamed Strawberry Fields in honor of John Lennon of the Beatles. As noted in an article by Central Park Conservancy, Strawberry Fields is a memorial to the British rock musician and peace activist John Lennon, 1940 to 1980. The memorial consists of a 5-acre landscape near the West 72nd Street entrance and includes the Imagine Mosaic, where many come to pay tribute to Lennon. The memorial's name is a reference to the 1967 song Lennon wrote and performed with the Beatles, Strawberry Fields Forever. Plans for a memorial to John Lennon began to take shape soon after his death. It began with the city's decision to name the area of Central Park across from the Dakota Building where he and his wife, Yoko Ono, lived and where he loved to walk, Strawberry Fields. Ono then began to conceive of a memorial in this landscape and invited countries from all over the world to contribute plants as well as stories to create an international garden of peace. Ono's idea was shaped by her own work as a conceptual artist as well as her knowledge that Lenin would not have wanted a traditional memorial in the form of a statue. Ono worked with the Central Park Conservancy, including landscape architect Bruce Kelly, to come up with a design for the area that incorporated some of those donations while restoring what was a deteriorated section of Central Park. Kelly sought to integrate the design of the memorial into the park's overall landscape, connecting it to the purpose of the park as a place to find peace and respite. The design of Strawberry Fields incorporates a couple of small meadows lined with trees and shrubs and a path that winds through a small wooded area. While focusing on the landscape, the design also includes a more formal design element, a mosaic installed into the pavement with the word Imagine in the center, donated by the city of Naples, Italy. Surrounded by benches, the area provides a focal point and gathering space for the many visitors that come to pay homage to Lenin. A plaque inset into the rock outcrop acknowledges the countries that made contributions. Strawberry Fields was officially dedicated on October 9, 1985, the 45th anniversary of Lenin's birth. When it opened, Strawberry Fields provided a rare alternative to traditional memorials in the form of a living landscape that changes and grows over time. Strawberry Fields is one of several memorials to musicians in Central Park. Others include Duke Ellington, Victor Herbert, and Beethoven. So let's close out today's program with the Beatles' Strawberry Fields Forever.
Let me take you down, 'cause I'm going to Strawberry Fields. Nothing is real, and nothing to get hung about. Strawberry Fields Forever.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long. Until next time.
I think I know me, yes, but it's all wrong. That is, I think I disagree.